There's some amazing events in the Bible that are recorded for us. just take, for instance, creation, the flood, Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, the one that's yet to come is his return. We're looking forward to that day. Amen. Amen. But this is one of those instances. It's an event that just stands out. Some would view this as the greatest battle scene recorded in the history of the Old Testament. It's an event that if once you've read it, once you've studied it, once you get it, you can't forget it. So today we have the pleasure of looking at it. What happens here in this text, we're studying the life of David, but it will change his life forever. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. And they camped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephraim's demesne. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I just want to stop there for a moment and just talk about the setting a little bit. I don't know how much of this you can see. I don't know how much it makes sense. But to the left, you have Saul's camp, Israelites' camp. Succah in Judah is up to the kind of beyond that. And the Philistines' camp would be across the valley. So that valley is quite wide. There's a brook that runs through it. We'll get to that. That gives you a little picture. I looked at a lot. I don't know. That's kind of the best I could do. None of them, I think, in my mind, really get us to the place we need to be that's in seeing it as well as we should. But you've got sort of these ridges, these mountainsides. You've got both of the Philistines and the Israelites on either side of those, valley, brook in the middle. There's 5 smooth stones awaiting David there. But this is the setting. And it's you've got these two armies facing off. They're enemies camped on opposite sides. This is about 10 to 12 miles from where David has been pasturing sheep for his father. You get to verse 4, a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath. He's massive. He's from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet. Notice, listen closely what he's got on. A bronze helmet on his head. He was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelins slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. The head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. Goliath is 9'6" to 9'9" tall. If you've played basketball, that's a 10-foot rim. Gives you a little bit of, he's a guy you definitely looked up to. His weight is probably 300 pounds or more. It could be 400 pounds. I'm just talking his body weight. It might be 500 pounds. He's a massive, massive man. Charles Ryrie, if you have a Ryrie study Bible, he estimates that his coat of armor weighed 125 pounds. That coat of armor was wore by him. And on top of that, he has someone in front of him with a full body shield. Goliath, in my view, is like a modern day M1 tank taking on a scooter. That's kind of what this looks like. And the challenge is given, verse 8, he says, come on out. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, said to them, give me a man, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. In verse 9, if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. That's what he's saying. Hey, if I win, you guys save a lot of bloodshed. You can just be our servants. If you win, save a lot of bloodshed, and we'll be your servants. Again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. There's the setting. The challenge is given. By the way, this is 40 days. It's happened for 40 days straight. This is the 41st day that Goliath has given this challenge. You see the effect. Look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That's the effect of this. They've heard it day after day after day. They look out, and here's this massive warrior standing head and shoulders, way beyond head and shoulders from any other soldier. And he's a experienced warrior. So that's the setting. That's where we jump into. There it is. Verses 12 to 19 really are the assignment given to David. We're going to just pick that up for a moment. David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had eight sons. Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. His father's older here. We see that. He has other sons. Verse 13, the three older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to battle. The names of his three sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, second to him, Abinadab, the third, Shammah. David was the youngest. Now the three oldest followed Saul. So his brothers are there at the camp. They are soldiers in Saul's army. Verse 15, you see David went back and forth from Saul to tend to his father's flock at Bethlehem. In verse 16, the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. And then Jesse said to David, his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain, 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of the 1,000 and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news of them. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So there's David's assignment really seen in verse 17, 18. Take this stuff and I want to hear, bring back news of them. I want to know what's going on. I want to know about the battle. So that's what his dad said to him. And it's worth noting that David at this moment in time has already been king in waiting. He was anointed by Saul, but he's doing really sort of a, you might say, an inconsequential job. He's shepherding, running supplies back and forth to the front line. That kind of stuff typically doesn't make headlines, but David is doing that faithfully. We are to do the greatest and least of tasks faithfully, as unto the Lord. God's watching over us. He's watching what we do. He entrusts us with certain things. If he's going to trust us with greater things, we must be faithful in smaller things. So there you have the setting, you've got this assignment. And what we pick up next is just the inquiry that David makes. So David arose early in the morning. Remember his dad said, you're run this stuff. And this is 10 to 12 miles, might be 15, might be a little less than 10. I believe David got up very early in the morning. It says, David arose early in the morning, left the flock with the keeper, took the supplies, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting a war cry. So David just ends up right kind of in the middle of it. And it says, Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line, entered in order to greet his brothers. Now notice verse 23. You just have this divine timing that takes place here. 23. As he was talking with them, behold, a champion. While David is there, guess who steps out? The Philistine from Gath named Goliath. He's coming down from the army of the Philistines. He spoke these same words, and David heard them. That is so worth noting. You know, David could have arrived a half hour later, missed hearing this. I love how it's written. David heard them. He heard the words. The words of Goliath were heard by someone who's going to make history that day. David heard this. Why? Why did he hear this? Well, because the God of Israel, he moves his servants as he sees best in order to bring about his good and his good pleasure through them. We have had God move in similar ways. If you look at your life, you've had God put you in a specific place at a specific time. You just happen to meet someone who's just had a rough word from a doctor's report, or someone who's struggling in their walk with God, wondering, does God really care? Does he hear? We've all had these, I call them divine appointments, where God just happens to put you someplace at some time. There's no happenstance for the believer. David looked over the situation, he listened to what was said, and he started asking questions. He's seen running several times in this chapter, and I just love that about this young man. He's left the goods with the stuff with the baggage keeper. He's gone out to greet his brothers. It's at that moment that David heard something, and God stirred his heart to do something. Do you know this? And I want you to realize this. God has an overarching sovereign plan for each of us. He does. Things don't just happen. No, not for the believer. God has a plan. He has a purpose. Sometimes that's walking through some deep waters, some difficult situations. But he has a plan and a purpose for everything. It can be hard to believe that when a giant shouts and you hear it, that God has allowed this and he has victory before us. Well, David heard this. He began to ask questions. Verse 25, the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." That's a pretty good deal, I think. Tax-free, get a wife out of it, great riches. But you know what? Of those thousands of men that were there in that army, no one took him up on it. No one took Saul up on that. David spoke, verse 26, to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" David's appalled at this. This young man, we believe he's in his late teens. He's appalled at what he's seen. "You guys belong to the God of heaven. What is going on here?" The people answered him, verse 27, in accord with the word, saying, "Thus will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" That's an older brother, right? "What are you doing? You got a job to do. A couple of sheep need your care. Get out of here." He says, "I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you've come down in order to see the battle." Verse 29, but David said, I love how he's so undeterred here. He's just undeterred. David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing, and the people answered and said the same thing as before. You have this inquiry. You have God's divine timing in it. Verse 31 and following is the battle. 31 and following is the battle. I touched on this scripture, this part last week somewhat, and I won't park a long time there. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told him to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him," that is, on account of Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth. Well, he has been a warrior from his youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or bear came, took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him, attacked him, rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard, struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And Saul just basically says, David, you can't do it. And David says, I absolutely can by the power of God. I've seen him work. This man has taunted the armies of the living God. In verse 37, here's David's confidence. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to him, go and may the Lord be with you. Saul agrees. David, go ahead. And then he says, hey, I got something for you. Saul clothed David with his garments and a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with his armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not yet tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. David took them off. Saul says, you're going to go fight this guy. We got to get you in the right stuff. Sword, you got the helmet and so forth. You're going to be okay. David said, no. No. Verse 40, he took his stick in his hand, chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in his pouch, and his sling with his hand, he approached the Philistine. You see David's conviction in verses 31 to 37. And he's going to fight this battle with some unusual items. He's got a stick. He's got a sling. He's got a shepherd's pouch. He's going to grab some stones. God has placed those in the hands of his servant David. And David is going to take what God has given him and he's going to fight. He's going to go. Now, you may picture, this isn't a sling in the Middle East. The shepherds, what David had, wasn't these slingshots. That's not what this is. This has 2 cords. There's a pouch on the end of it and you sling it. And when you get good with it, you release one of the cords, and it opens that up to fire the rock, the stone. Now, these men are not using pebbles. What he's using here is something a little heavier. It's a deadly combination. It's not the only time you'll see a sling used in Scripture. The tribe of Benjamin, they were very adept with their use and accuracy. Judges 20:16. Out of all these people, 700 choice men were left-handed, speaking of the tribe of Benjamin. Each one could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Very accurate. Very accurate. Later on, some of David's men, later in his life, not too much later, but later in his life, we'll get to that at some point. But they were men that were good with slings also. 1 Chronicles 12, first part of that verse, they were equipped, David's men, with bows, using both the right hand and the left to sling stones to shoot arrows from the bow. They could do both. They used slings. They used bow and arrow. Some of David's mighty men that stood with him, they were very good with those things. And a sling in the right hands could bring sudden death to an opponent, something Goliath was about to experience. Now, you might say, oh, if I only had a sling and could. No, we can't do that. But we do have some offensive weapons as believers. We have prayer. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have Christ in us. Ephesians 6:17-18. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance, petition for all the saints. Yeah, we have something that we need to be using. We can pray. We have the Word of God. Those are powerful to change lives and nations. And that's what the Apostle Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. You know, the Word of God changes people. And changed people change families and communities and nations. They do. And you take the Word of God and you share it, you give it to someone, and the Spirit of God takes that Word and uses it. That's a pretty powerful weapon. So, Goliath's undoing. He is taunting the armies of God. We'll pick it up in verse 41. The Philistine came on and approached David. David's on his way out. He's going. He's saying, I'm going to fight this guy. By the way, wouldn't you love to have been there? I would have loved to have been around his brothers. What is that nut doing? You know, I believe the army is shocked that David's going. I believe they are. Oh, it's a moment. Everybody's heart is at a rapid rate now. But David goes, he stops, and he gets five smooth stones. In verse 41, the Philistine came on and approached David with shield bearer in front of him. Just picture that. This man is clothed in armor. He's got a shield bearer in front of him. And David, he's got a pouch, he's got a sling, and he's got a stick. I still don't know what the stick was about. Some of you can fill me in on that later. But that's what you've got. And when the Philistine looked at him, verse 42, saw David, he disdained him. He disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his God. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds, the sky and beasts of the field. And we all would say, oh boy, what did we get ourselves into right now, right? You just have this confidence from him. Now, David picked up five stones. And as a younger man and younger in life, I thought pebbles. I don't know why. I guess I shot pebbles out of a slingshot. These aren't pebbles. I did some looking. There are those that believe that it was very common to use a rock that would weigh a pound. And so I'm kind of into archery a little bit. So I thought, okay, so what would a rock that weighed 16 ounces, what would be the kinetic energy of that? Well, if you think of a baseball thrown at 90 miles an hour, I think it weighs 5.5 ounces. So you've probably seen pitchers where a pitch has gotten away from a pitcher and hit someone in the head. You know what happens if a baseball at 90 miles an hour hits someone in the head? If it hits them in the helmet, it'll knock them down. If it hits them in the head, they're in big trouble, right? I believe David could have slung this at 100 miles an hour because you have, at the end of a sling, that baby's going. So if that's true, regardless, but if it's true that he could throw that approximately 100 miles an hour, it would hit three times the power of a baseball. So long story short, he's Goliath in big trouble. Big trouble. It would tip him over in a moment, and it does. Now, you may not have the abilities that other believers have. You might think, okay, let's stop right here. What do I have? And you know, there are others that just have this or that. They're very gifted and so forth. But I want you to know something as believers. Every one of you are important. God has designed you in a specific way. And by the way, we are complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. We're complete in Him. In Him, you've been made complete. He's the head of all rule and authority. We're in Christ. Our authority comes from Him. He sent us out. He gives us the victory. And He's done that and done it and done it and done it. We need to remember that. By the way, I just read you verses 41 to 44. You heard from Goliath. Those are His last words. Those are His last words. He's not going to speak in life again. His days are done. And it says there that Goliath disdained David. Disdain's a verb that means to scorn or despise, to hold in contempt. Esau, if you remember, sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew because he had no regard for it. He despised it. Esau despised his birthright. He had no regard for it. No regard. That's how Goliath looks at David. I don't believe Goliath nor his shield bearer nor the army of the Philistines had any idea as to what was about to transform. The Goliath was going to go down in defeat and had just completed his last sentence on earth. Goliath was angry. He believed he was being mocked somewhat, disrespected to have someone like David come out and fight him. But notice David's response. I love it. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You've come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." Why is Goliath going down this day? Because he has taunted God. He's taunted him. And that's not something that God's going to allow him to get away with this day. We've read this several times. When he taunted Israel, he taunted God. He'd done this for 40 days. This is his 41st. He's not the first to have mocked God. If you remember the Apostle Paul, he persecuted Christians, but he was really persecuting Christ. Acts 9:4-5, he fell to the ground and heard a voice. This is when Jesus speaks to him on a road to Damascus. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" They just stoned Stephen a couple chapters or a chapter earlier. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You're persecuting my people. You're persecuting me." That was Goliath's undoing. His undoing wasn't that he wanted to fight someone from the army of Israel. No, his undoing was that he publicly, day after day, taunted God. God doesn't always, as you know, act immediately like he did here. There are others who have taunted God and his people in the past and are doing so and very active today. But their day is coming. Romans 14:11-12 is written as, "I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Everyone will stand before the Lord." I've heard one pastor say this, payday someday. Payday someday. Yeah, God's justice will flow. He is true to his word. He must judge sin, and he will. And he will judge all sinners through the one he has given authority to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's pick up some more of the battle. Verse 48. Let me go back to 46. You have this back and forth between Goliath and David. David says in verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. I'll strike you down and remove your head from you. I'll give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I love where David takes this. It's not just him now. It's us. It's me and the army. He's going to deliver you into our hands. And then it happened. Then it happened. When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to David, to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. What a picture. David just takes off. He's running hard. He put in his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it, struck the Philistine on his forehead. Stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine, killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out. I don't know what happened to the shield bearer. I think he's out of there by now. I would have been. He killed him, cut off his head. That would have been a treasure in that day, evidence of what had happened. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Didn't stick around. Remember that the whole thing was really a ruse about, hey, if you win, we'll be there. We'll be your servants. No, they took off and they were pursued, and a great victory came that day. David ran to the battle. The verb "ran" in this verse, in verse 48, means to run, to rush, to move hastily. He didn't just kind of ease his way in there. I'm sure it was a bit shocking to all looked on. He ran. He took off on a sprint straight toward Goliath. He gets close, reaches his hand in his bag, puts it in a sling, and the rest is history. The giant came tumbling down. That's what I've named this sermon, "And the Giant Came Tumbling Down." Remember that song? Some of you may. "Only a Boy Named David, Only a Little Sling." How many of you remember that song? Yes. I think the last time I asked if you remember something, I think I had three. "Only a Boy Named David, But He Could Pray and Sing." "Only a Boy Named David, Only a Rippling Brook." "Only a Boy Named David, 5 little stones he took, and 1 little stone went in the sling went around and around, wherever we go, and finally 1 little stone went into the air, and the giant came tumbling down." What's here for us? What's here for us? Many things we could talk about, just two that I want to put out to you, two truths to live by. God's ways are not our ways. They hardly ever are. If you would have said, "Okay, we've got a situation. We got Goliath out here, and we got an army here of God's people. How are we going to do this?" I doubt any of us would have said, "Let's grab a shepherd boy with a sling and a stick and have him pick a stone up, 5 of them, and we'll take him down." God's ways are not our ways. Often He does things. His mind is different. His ways are perfect. A stone and a sling to defeat a giant. Our weapons are prayer and the Word of God, and they are powerful. They are so powerful. And the second thing I want to leave you with is this. The battle belongs to the Lord, and He will have the victory. And if you know Him, His victory is yours. That's the side I want to be on. He's not on my side. I'm on His side. I mean, He is on my, you know what I'm saying? Continue to serve Him. Continue. Serve the Lord. Continue to serve Him while influencing others toward a relationship to Jesus. You know, Goliath mocked David. He taunted the armies of God's people. That's part of the battle we face as well, isn't it? You hear these things. You call yourself a Christian and you've done this. And you pray and you think God's going to answer prayer. The devil speaks those things. He throws these things at us, but we just answer them by truth. So God's ways are not our ways. The battle belongs to the Lord. And He will have the victory. Continue on. No matter what it looks like, continue to serve Him. Continue to look to Him. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing to us that You would do a battle like this with a shepherd, a sling, a stone, and defeat a great army. It's amazing to us and shocks us a bit that You would send Your Son, Jesus Christ, to take our sin debt, to die in our place, to rise again in triumph, and through faith in His finished work, we have eternal life. That amazes us as well. And Your Word, Father, and Your Spirit taken into our lives, used in us and other people, brings about great victory, great help. It changes things. Help us to be the people that You've called us to be, to influence people that are in our sphere of influence for Jesus, in a relationship with Him. We ask Your blessing. Bless our people now. In Jesus' name, amen.